You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Would you ever run for president again?
No. But I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we have a president who respects our democracy and the rule of law and upholds our institutions.
What if Donald Trump runs again?
He should be soundly defeated. It should start in the Republican Party. Grow a backbone. Stand up to this guy.
Oh, there's Hillary Clinton denying she's going to run again in that interview with CBS. Will you run again? No. I won't. What if Trump runs again? Oh, no. You guys grow a spine and stand up to this guy. Do you believe her? This is September 7th, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. That'll take you to our page. You'll see previous postings. You also see where to punch live and join us in studio. Glad to have you. We'll talk about that later in this program today, about why we're on Rumble, no longer on YouTube. It's a classic case of censorship. That'll be coming up later. So, do you think she's serious? She won't run? Yeah, don't hold your breath. And she's still looking for others to blame. She is an election denier, which we're told by Biden that MAGA people, anybody that denies the results of the election, you're a threat to our democracy. It is funny, isn't it? And yet it's not funny that the shoe never seems to fit on their feet or any foot they have. So here's something else you need to be aware of. The 2020 U.S. Census apparently undercounted in red states, costing congressional seats in Florida, Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee, Mississippi, and then overcounted, coinkydinky, in blue states. Biggest overcount was in Delaware, Biden's home state. Is this more election fraud and stealing the election, which Republicans are being blamed for? Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation will discuss that. Now, Hans has an excellent background because he served as a federal election commissioner. He knows exactly what the rules are and what should be done. And the situation could be dire moving forward. You need to know about that. That's coming up later. Also, California, big heat crisis, water shortage. What a state to live in. There's a picture of a guy with a gas generator in his driveway, powering up his electric vehicle because he's not supposed to use the electric grid in California right now. And this story is surfacing. We're going to have more on this probably tomorrow because I've got a guest I want to line up for this story tomorrow, but it came in a little bit late today. A report surfacing through a FOIA, that's a Federal Information Act request, that in 2019, the FBI was going around and sending out forms to different people and saying, would you like to voluntarily give up your Second Amendment rights? And you could sign it and say, yeah, I give up my Second Amendment rights. And there was no recourse if you decide you suddenly want them back. What the hell was the FBI doing? We're going to get into that to some extent today. Black Lives Matter leaders again caught their hands in the till, taking money. No surprise there. And, of course, I've got to balance it with it. Former White House strategist Steve Bannon charged with stealing money from those who contributed to the We Build the Wall. You know, if we can't get it done by the government, we will give donations. Bannon's response, you want to know about his response coming up later. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. You need to let your family, friends, even your enemies know we're on the air. Oh, and also, the story of a motorcycle rally on a cruise ship. That could be my kind of cruise if you do a couple more things. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof. Plus, quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Let's talk about that extreme heat we are facing again today. This morning, California faces yet another all-time high power demand.
Conservation is key. That's according to the California Independent System Operator that operates and runs the power grid. Another flex alert is in effect today from 4 to 9 p.m. By now, you've likely heard the drill. Set your AC to 78 degrees or higher if you can. Avoid using major appliances like your washer and dryer. And dishwasher between 4 and 9 p.m. Today, maybe? CAISO issued an emergency energy alert level 2. That's the stage before utilities are told to cut power. On your screen, stage 2 is when utilities start using emergency resources like the DWR generators in Roseville, where Devin is, and people are asked to reduce even more power usage. If we reach the final stage of energy demand and capacity is maxed out, utilities will then be told to start cutting off power to reduce demand. Conchetta?
Yeah, the last time we hit emergency energy alert 3 was back in August of 2022. Or, so of 2020, I should say. For 2 days, about 800,000 homes and businesses had their power cut for up to 2.5 hours at a time. CAISO says this is the first time outages were ordered in California due to limited supply in nearly 20 years.
Well, isn't that exciting? There's a golden state of California. Wouldn't it be great to live in California? The gold rush days are over. The heat is on. The electricity is being reduced, and you're being warned, do not overuse it. As I mentioned in the open monologue, in case you missed it, there's a photo of a guy that has a gas generator sitting in his driveway, and he's powering up the generator not to cool his home, but to charge his electric vehicle. That's irony of irony, isn't it? And, of course, the other day, the state said we are not going to sell any gas-powered cars in this state as of 2035. Well, we'll see what happens at that point. But right now, I think folks in California are beginning to realize this is not so good. They not only have power brownouts, possible blackouts, they're under threats, don't do that and don't do this, and then also your water. Do not be watering your lawn. They are going around and fining people. They have actually hired and have groups, just like they do in San Francisco and other California cities where they have a lot of homeless, to go around and pick up human excrement. They also have water monitors running around checking if your sprinkler's on and for a longer period than it should be. Then they will come by and give you a warning, and if not, then they'll come back by and put a restrainer on it so it basically won't work for you. You got a pool? You better not be putting water into that pool. Grass is brown, trees are dying. And of course, the answer in the minds of the left progressive ultra green pie in the sky is climate change. It's coming, everything's falling apart. It's summer, and it gets hot sometimes, and sometimes very hot. Some summers, hotter than others. Same thing with some winters, colder than others. But they do not reason. They don't deal with any realistic, rational discussion. Just got to blame somebody. It ain't us. We're doing everything. We're going to go to full electric vehicles. We're going to get rid of fossil fuel. That means the guy that's using the power generator, the gas power generator in his driveway to power up his electric vehicle won't have fossil fuel to put in there anymore. He sucks to be him, right? The LA Times is noting that report you were hearing then was from a California TV station, just how bad it is. The LA Times adding to it, saying there's some confusion between state and local authorities as to what we need to be doing, what they call shedding. Load shedding means they're going to roll across various areas, brownouts or blackouts, and they insist the crisis is not over. They've got another flex alert for today. This would be the eighth consecutive such alert. Consumers again urged to conserve power, including don't charge your electric vehicle. Do you get and see what's going on? You do. I know you do. I'm speaking to the choir here. I understand that. If you have an electric vehicle, fine. If that's what you enjoy driving, that's fine. That's your choice. But I'm telling you right now that if you live in California right now, they're telling you, do not charge it. Well, I thought we're supposed to buy these things. I spent a lot of money to buy one. I don't have any other way to get around. Don't charge it. We find you charging it, we'll come out and fine you. State continues to say, well, we're going to ride on solar. We got a lot of sunshine. That won't be enough. Wind energy. They got the wind. A lot of wind around the state capital. A lot of blowhards. Then they're still closing down natural gas and nuclear power plants. Do you understand where this is going to be leading? It's going to lead to a road that has a dead end. You watch for more defections from California saying, I'm out of here. In fact, I'm not so sure that some of those illegals coming across the border want to go to California. It's a sanctuary state. They get into there, they're going to be okay. But now maybe you say, I don't want to go to California. And this security issue, I want to share something with you from Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute he wrote. He said, it's no longer debatable that energy policy involves more than the sources of electric power countries or American states utilize to keep consumers warm, cool, fed, or employed. It is a matter of life and death. He adds, for example, soaring temperatures in California, precipitating rolling blackouts, Therefore, everyone will depend on electricity for transportation. They're going to suffer. If the heat continues, power disruptions will follow. He said, in the meantime, Europe's going to freeze this winter because they have decided to go green. They're realizing that's not working. And he said, we can no longer ignore the imperative of enhancing the resiliency of our electric grid and reliability of our energy supplies. Those who pretend otherwise are on notice that if they persist in endangering both, they will be held responsible for the resulting carnage. Well, that's what they're doing out there right now. There's a viewer, a listener that follows. He lives in L.A., I think. I might be wrong. I think he travels back and forth. He is a pretty loyal listener. He posts on my Facebook, so what I'm reading is there. At least his name is already, but this particular post isn't. But I did go ahead and pass it along. And Elliot wrote, showing a picture of kids playing basketball inside, young teens, all wearing masks even now. And he said, this is L.A., where masks are still required inside parks and recreation centers, as well as jabs to enter. This is your Democratic leadership following science. It's also 100 degrees in L.A. Mystery deaths now kill 3 times more people than the Fauci flu. When does insanity and criminal behavior end? And then he adds, I would like 30 minutes in a room with these so-called health officials. By the way, has any of the health officials had a press conference where they've had to answer questions how and where they get their science, numbers, and protocol to justify their decisions? And he answered himself, never. And he's right. They just make these mandates, put them on you. And the current administration, while trying to blame MAGA Republicans, and I don't like just being lumped into something like that. Count me as a MAGA. Whether or not that means you support Trump, you can be MAGA. Don't you want to make America great again, period? Don't you want to make America great again? Maybe you voted for Trump, maybe you didn't. But I'm asking, do you want to make America great again? That's what this program is more than anything else. I told you, and I'll repeat again, when it comes down to it, I really don't care about your politics, your gender, and there are only two you can choose from. I'll state that right now. I don't care about your religion, your ethnicity, your race, your color, whatever. What I care about is, are you a patriot? Do you care enough about this country to do what's necessary to save and protect it? Are you on your knees sometimes at night asking God, please don't turn your back on us? We have been blessed over and over in this nation. We are a beacon of light to so many others. How many are trying to get into this country illegally? Look at the numbers. Is there any other country in the world that many are trying to get into that country illegally? No. But still, when you have this open border policy that Biden has put in place, Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, said, if you're looking for somebody to blame that's damaging our democracy, you look to President Biden and his actions.
And when you have no border, not only do illegal migrants come in, but more importantly, this fentanyl, which is harming so many communities and so many families, have lost loved ones because of this. And as you point out, Joe Biden says nothing. More important, he does nothing and, in fact, does the wrong thing, which is the whole open border policy that they currently have.
That's exactly correct. If you have no border, you have no country. And, of course, what Governor Abbott has been doing is busing illegals that come across the border to D.C., New York City, now Chicago. I'm probably going to send them elsewhere as well, all blue cities, blue states that claim their sanctuaries. We love illegals coming across the border, unless they come to our city and our, you know. And the New York City Mayor, Eric Adams, sent, quote, a fact-finding delegation to the border to see what's going on down there. Are you that stupid? Really? I really thought this man was going to be a much better leader. So this delegation going down there, what do you think they're going to find? They're going to see hordes pouring across the border. And folks are not being forced to get on the bus to go to New York City. They're asked, do you want to go to New York City? Yeah. Okay, get on the bus. They're driven in comfort, and they make stops for them as needed. They have a restroom on board. They have air conditioning. What a way to travel. A lot better than what they did to get across our border from wherever they came. But he sent this fact-finding group down there to make sure that maybe they'd rather go somewhere else, not New York City. Please, please, don't come to New York City. We can't handle it. Adams, what you need to do is send your delegation to Biden's office and say, what the hell are you doing? And if you want to really do something, New York City Mayor Adams, you demand the border be shut down. That'll stop the flow of buses, for a while anyway. Coming up, we knew this was going to happen during COVID. Kids were going to suffer. The grades were going to suffer. But the American Federation President of Teachers says, it's not my fault. Well, of course not. Stand by, please.
Could be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong and start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and drink.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the numbers are out and we said they were going to happen this way, but I didn't have time to spend on it yesterday. But let's take a few moments here to look at what has happened with our education of our children during the COVID lockdowns and Zoom schooling. The good thing that came out of it is that some parents began to notice watching their kids while they're in Zoom schooling what the teacher was teaching. It wasn't education, it was indoctrination. So that was a plus that came out of it. But let's look at what they're supposed to be doing. That would be education. The National Center for Education Statistics has new data regarding 9-year-olds' reading scores. They have the lowest since 1990. Since 1990. Math scores, a record drop of 7 points. All of this tracked by the National Assessment of Education Progress, often referred to as the nation's report card. Well, Peggy Carr, the commissioner of the National Center for Education Stats, said these historic results are sobering. Sobering? You want to get something to drink. You don't get sober when you hear those numbers. She said these are sobering. It's clear that COVID-19 shocked American education and stunted the academic growth of this age group. Now, this is just focusing on 9-year-olds, fourth grade, basically. If you're shocked by that, then you're pretty stupid as well. You need to go back to school. We knew and said over and over again, kids and their education will suffer. And it will be extensive. We will not make up this time. You're just going to have to try to regather and regroup. But then, of course, they're looking for other reasons, too. So the commissioner for the National Center said, we had a disruption, violence, truancy, cyberbullying, absent teachers also during the pandemic. So it's not just the lockdown. Of course not. Of course, don't blame it on that. Look for something else. So here comes Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers. And I know there are many teachers that don't care for her or the association. There are those that do. And most of them that do, they just want to kind of get by. Just give me the paycheck. They lost their interest and their desire to teach, which is a shame because there are a lot of good teachers out there. And that's why they go there, to teach kids and educate, not indoctrinate. The Wall Street Journal editorial board wrote a piece titled, Randy Weingarten Flunks the Pandemic. She had written a letter to the editor placing all the blame on President Trump and former Secretary of Education DeVos and all Republicans, while at the same time praising President Joe Biden's American Rescue Plan. The Wall Street Journal editorial comes after these stats I was just telling you about how bad our students are doing in different grades. The Journal wrote, "You'd think this would be cause for reflection by our education elites, but no such luck." And that Weingartner herself, quote, pushed shutdowns as long as she possibly could before the parents revolted. The Journal adds, media headlines blame the pandemic as if COVID-19 ran our school districts and forced students to sit at home in front of screens for more than a year. And so the educators and folks like Randy Weingarten and politicians who said, lock them down. The Journal editorial said that she and her union were chief disruptors, setting back America's children for years. The exact same thing I told you when we're in the midst of it. And I know you knew this, but I wanted to drive it home. We are hurting our children at unbelievable levels. We're going to pay such a high price. You look at 9-year-olds falling that far behind that they dropped their scores in math and reading, dropped by the biggest margins since 1990. So much for education during that time, right? If they could, they'd lock them up again, you know, because COVID might keep coming back around again. Well, here's a story you need to pay attention to. The Census Bureau seemed to miscount for red states, overcount for blue states. That affects congressional seats. That story coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. You know, of course, the way that we select congressional districts and how many districts go to each state is based on the population. Every state gets two senators, regardless of the population. But the number of congressional representatives you get based in the House is based upon the population of that state and how the lines are drawn to supposedly equally give each district a similar number of people. But you have to rely on the U.S. Census to do that. And if they blow it, there's trouble. My guest is Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Glad to have you on board again, Hans.
Larry, thanks for having me back.
I'm looking at a piece you wrote as an opinion piece for Daily Caller when you're pointing out that the Census Bureau pretty much blew the last census, and now there's talk about, well, maybe we should do it again. But the other thing I want to drive home is that they were undercounting, coinky-dinky, in red states, overcounting in blue states, and in particular Biden's home state of Delaware. They seem to be counting even more residents than existed.
Yeah, that's right. They overcounted 8 states, every single one of them a blue state with one exception, and they undercounted 6 states. All of them red states, again, with one exception.
Illinois.
And this has very big consequences, because what it means is that when they reapportioned, when they said how many members of the U.S. House each state now has based on their population, Florida actually got cheated out of 2 congressional seats. Because Florida was undercounted, by almost 750,000 people. They didn't get two congressional seats they should have gotten. Texas was undercounted by more than 500,000 people, and because of that, they also didn't get an additional congressional seat they should have gotten. And two blue states, Minnesota and Rhode Island, they actually each should have lost a congressional seat because the census overcounted them. So it has, look, you know, people may think this is minor, but it means,
no,
that,
it's
for
not.
Example, the next.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not.
It's very big, but the issue is, what are you going to do about it? And now, are they actually thinking, let's redo the census? How the hell would that happen if it does?
I just don't think that's practical. I mean, I think, look, states and the citizens of particular states that got, for example, undercounted, I mean, they got standing to sue, but even if they won their suit, how is a judge going to fashion a remedy? Order an entirely new census for the entire country? That would cost a huge amount of money. It would take a lot of time and effort to organize. I just don't think there's a practical solution, unfortunately, to this problem.
Well, let's look at the facts being between the red and blue states. And you point out that Colorado got a new congressional seat that it shouldn't have even gotten.
Right.
It comes to mind immediately, is this another way to, quote, steal the election, when they're blaming, you know, saying that we do everything above board and everything else? Was the U.S. Census Bureau weaponized for this purpose?
Well, we don't know, because the Census Bureau so far has not explained how it made these mistakes. And look, for folks who say, well, you know, when you're doing something this big, counting over 300 million, in fact, 330 million people, you're going to have mistakes. Well, the problem is that they made these major errors in this census, but in 2010, the only error they made was 1/100 of 1%. It was
really
statistically insignificant. Yeah, they missed counting 36,000 Americans, but otherwise they pretty much got it right. Like I said, they don't have an explanation for how they made such major errors in this census.
Now, again, part of the census gathering is for the folks to fill out, that they're supposed to answer the questions. And so
right.
Some of them, maybe you blame the citizens if they didn't fill them out, or you blame others, they filled out more than one census form. How do you come up with these numbers they have that far off this time?
Well, the way they figured out they had made the mistake is after every census does this thing. They call it the post-enumeration survey. And they call households across the country. In this case, they called 114,000 U.S. households and actually interviewed the people in those households just to ask them the same census questions that these households were supposed to answer on their own, you know, in
right.
2020.
Now, they didn't have the name. And they didn't have the name linked to the number and census and what they actually reported on their census form, correct? So it's supposedly a blind survey.
Well, no, because the Census Bureau, it's got the answers. They
right.
just can't release it to anybody
right.
else.
Okay. So they knew what the person reported when they called.
Yeah,
so
what they did is they compared the answers they got in this interview with the original answers they got in the census back in 2020, and that's how they figured out how much of a mistake. So, you know, they didn't survey the entire country, but they surveyed enough individuals across the country to figure out their error rate.
Well, now, two questions come to mind, and they both come down to fraud or just stupidity. I mean, did they fill out the census form wrong in the beginning, intentionally or not? And now, are they telling the truth or not? And the other point is, when they are calling them, they're using landlines, right? How many people have landlines now they rely on?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that, but so there's a lot of unknowns here, but like I said, look, this is the report that the Census Bureau released saying here are the errors that we made. And look, we're talking about this now, but this report actually came out in May and it got no attention.
You're right.
I mean, I think I was. I'm one of the first people to actually write about it, and it's caught the attention of folks. But when it first came out, it was released very quietly, and people weren't paying attention.
I have to admit, I'm among those that was in the blind. Thank God for you. You're listening, Hans von Spakovsky, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, but also a former federal election commissioner, so he knows the law and what should have been done and how it should have been applied. The issue is not just the congressional seats. You also point out federal dollars are involved here.
No, that's right, because there's probably more than $1.5 trillion in federal programs where the money is distributed by the feds to the states based on their populations. And so obviously the eight states that got overpopulated, places like New York, they're going to get more money than they're supposed to get. And states that were undercounted, like Texas, Florida, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, are not going to get all of the funding that they should have gotten.
I have to point out, and I know you know this, but and the audience certainly picked up, I've got a very sharp audience, but when you point out how bad this count is off this time around compared to 2010, that there was only 0.01% difference, that only missed it by 36,000 Americans, basically, and it's so far off this time, that just does not smell like a mistake.
Well, no, I just can't explain how they could have done it. The biggest error was in one of the biggest errors was in Hawaii, where they overcounted the state by almost 7%. That's a that's a very big number.
Certainly for that state. And then how did they do, how did they come up with the number they did for Delaware? Weren't they 5% over in Delaware, Biden's home state?
Yep, almost 5.5% over. So, again, it's just kind of interesting that the president's home state is one of the states that was overcounted.
You point out that states that have lost representation would have a case to take before the court, but what kind of remedy could they get? That'd be just that one state, and then other states are going to say, me too. And others are saying, if you're going to take a congressional seat away from us to give it to them, then that's wrong. Who can solve this?
Yeah, like I said, that's the whole problem with this. There doesn't seem to be a remedy for this. I mean, the thing that does need to happen is, look, Congress has got to intensely investigate this. They've got to find out how this happened, why it happened, who was responsible for it happening, and then put in whatever means are necessary to make sure this does not happen again, because it's an extraordinary problem for the states that were undercounted.
Well, thanks for opening up a can of worms and Pandora's box for us, Hans. I'm certainly glad you caught this and brought it to attention. You're absolutely right. That just kind of slipped under the door in May. Thank you for being, focused on it and bringing it to our attention, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on to talk about it.
Always. Thanks, Hans. Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. Do you believe it was just coinky-dinky that they made a mistake or a plot? I know what you're thinking. Coming up, Steve Bannon facing more charges, and so are Black Lives Matter leaders, both accused of dipping their hands into the till. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Counting Country, and Clayton.
Show me what you got, cause I don't wanna waste my time. See me in the spotlight, ooh, I love like my wife.
Give it to me, I'm worth it. Baby, I'm worth it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here we go again. Former White House Chief Strategist Stephen Bannon set to surrender himself in New York to prosecutors tomorrow, facing a new criminal indictment. This is according to the Washington Post. The details of this indictment are still sealed, supposedly, but allegedly that Bannon was, of course, involved in raising money for American citizens to build the wall when Congress wouldn't do it, and it was titled We Build the Wall, an online fundraising effort to help finish construction of the southern border wall. The allegation is that he was digging his hands into what the contributions were coming in. If he did so, I do want him punished because folks were giving it for a project they believed in, just as folks did for BLM, which I'll come to in a moment. But again, he's just charged right now, not even officially charged, but going to surrender tomorrow to be charged. The reaction from Bannon is, he said this is all part of the New York City inspired by the Biden administration to assassinate me by police, Soros-backed DA, now pursuing phony charges 60 days before the midterm election. That is right. He's pointing out, again, the timing. What else can we do to muddy the water and make Trump and his supporters look bad? File charges against Bannon again. Bannon got pardoned by Trump on other charges before Trump left office. But again, Bannon said, they're coming after all of us, not only President Trump and myself, and I am never going to stop fighting. In fact, I have not yet begun to fight. They will have to kill me first. Those are the words of Steve Bannon. Now, against that backdrop, I put this story. Another Black Lives Matter leader caught embezzling, according to the allegations, millions of dollars. There's no wording on how much Bannon stole from what I've seen so far, according to the allegations. But the Washington Examiner reports that the leader of the Black Lives Matter group, now accused of stealing more than $10 million. The Black Lives Matter grassroots, a nonprofit group representing local BLM chapters across the country, itself accused the BLM Global Network Foundation and board secretary in a lawsuit of fraudulently siphoning more than $10 million in, quote, fees. In other words, from your donation to BLM, which you thought you believed in, that they were actually caring about Black Lives Matter, and are you giving to White Lives Matter too? Are you giving to Blue Lives Matter? I'm just asking. This was a fraud from the beginning, especially when they started raising money. I'm not saying that Bannon is or is not guilty as charged, but it was very clear from the beginning. You start throwing this kind of money into something called Black Lives Matter, where do you think that money's going to go? I do know this. You just look around the neighborhoods in any major city, the urban areas, and especially the minority communities inside them. Do you see BLM spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, even tens of thousands of dollars to help fix up homes, clear lots, do things like that? No, you don't. Do you see them doing anything to help improve lives for Black Americans if Black Lives Matter? No. They're good about organizing protests and rallies if a police officer is involved in shooting a Black suspect. Otherwise, the money went for one. In one case, we know directly that the co-founder, Patrice Cullors, bought a $6 million mansion. But she said, I didn't take it out of the BLM funds. I did that on other things, that it's speaking engagements, so forth. Yeah, right. Come on. I want one of those speaking engagements. And I'd be damn better than she had, I promise you. So we've got the Hunter Biden laptop movie out, produced by Breitbart. And Politico, which had originally called the reporting, just the reporting on the laptop, as wrong and Russian disinformation, just like they were parroting the FBI, they published a headline yesterday, just before the worldwide launch of My Son Hunter, calling it a sign of the political wars to come. So last night, they did have a small screening in an area that was not open to the general public, apparently. It took place in L.A. And according to the political write-up, some of the sketches are well-researched, taken from memoirs and reports derived from the hard drive. Other sections, they point out, are sloppy. In fact, calling Bo Biden's wife, or widow, I should say, Hallie. Instead of calling her Hallie, they were calling her Haley. And then the political headline changed hours after they published a sign of political wars to come. Now they titled it, "The premiere of the new Hunter Biden film was as wild as you'd think." Which kind of alludes to that it's just fiction, not real. It's not the movie that's wild, as you'd think. It's what's on the Hunter Biden laptop. And it's more wild than many of you would even imagine. We've seen and heard a lot of it already and seen different reports on it. Is that the way you live your life? I know it's not. So coming up in the next hour, a lot of this stuff that gets out there from the current investigation, the Trump raid, it's leaked. You know that. Let's focus on the FBI leadership and the DOJ leadership. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.